Amen. Perfect. That's perfect. Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Juliana. I do hope that you will take time at some point to think about your own story and what does that look like for you to proclaim who you are as God's child. I think that's such an important practice for all of us, and we have certainly been touched and blessed by God, Lord, to have heard your story this morning. So thank you so much for sharing with us. As I mentioned, my name is Lindsay. I want to tell you about two things that are coming up. I want to make sure you have these on your calendar. Next Sunday, we have a congregational meeting. And so if you are here, we would love for you to be here. We're going to vote on, you're going to choose your four new elders for the leadership team. That's the governing body of this church. So we'd love for you to be here to be part of that. And then I want you to put April 18th on your calendar. So what happens when you get a new pastor is there is an act of the presbytery. The presbytery is kind of this group of churches that are in the area. And I'm actually not a member of Kairos. I'm a member of the presbytery. And so the presbytery has a worship service to officially declare me pastor of Kairos. And so what happens is that people are going to gather together, and I answer all of these questions that say I'm going to work really hard and do the best I can, and then you answer questions that you're going to not throw lemons at me, and it's a great time to be together. And it's a Thursday night at 6:30, and let me tell you why it's Thursday night at 6:30. I wanted us to be really intentional about celebrating the story of Kairos and this honor that I feel to get to be part of the story of Kairos. And so we have invited back all of the previous pastors of Kairos. And so I want you to know that the founding pastors, Thomas and Beth Daniel, are going to be here. Steve Hayner obviously cannot be here. He is no longer with us, but his wife, Cheryl Hayner, will be here. And then Drew Ditzel, the previous pastor, my predecessor, will be here to be part of that service. So we're really excited about that. The interim pastor, Pam, is going to be in Germany. I don't know why Germany sounds more fun than being here. But anyway, she will not be able to be with us. And Mary Beth, one of our own pastors within the congregation, is going to participate. It's going to be a really lovely night, so I would really like for you to be a part of that and join us on April 18th. But today, we are celebrating much, much bigger news, that Jesus Christ is risen, which is a fantastic thing for us to gather together and worship and celebrate. So we're going to look, if you have been with us all through Lent, we've been journeying all through the book of Luke. We have been working through 10 chapters to get to here. And now we're in chapter 24, and we have been to the cross. Thursday night, we had dinner together and looked at Jesus' Last Supper. Friday night, we reflected as Jesus was crucified. And here we are 3 days later in chapter 24. Before we go to the Word, let me pray for the Holy Spirit to illumine the Word. Let's pray. Holy God, we do pray that you would be present with us now. Lord, for the honor and privilege it is for us to be in your presence and to be together with one another. God, that now as we read this word, may the words that we read be your words. May the words that are spoken be your words. May the words that are heard be your words. May your spirit be at work molding us and shaping us into the people you desire for us to be. And may this encounter with you be so powerful, we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. I would invite you to listen now to chapter 24. I'll read the first 12 verses. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they didn't find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But the words seemed to them like an idle tale, and they didn't believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home and amazed at what had happened. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, you might remember that Jesus died just as the Sabbath was beginning. This means that the body was laid in the tomb, but the women couldn't prepare it for burial. They chose to go home and rest for Sabbath. And so now here we are, that as the day is beginning to dawn, that the women, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women, they take these spices that they have prepared, and they go to prepare the body for burial. I think all the time about what that journey was like to the tomb. I think about how much grief that they carried to the tomb, what their heart and their heads would have been doing, how their hearts would have taken them to moments of uncontrollable tears, but how their heads would have been remembering all the amazing stuff that they had done with Jesus, all the things that they had learned from Jesus, remembering how dearly they loved him, remembering how horrific Friday had been. Jesus had changed their lives. Matter of fact, Joanna and Mary Magdalene, Scripture tells us so many cool things about them. Jesus healed both of them. Matter of fact, Mary Magdalene, Scripture tells us that Jesus drove 7 demons from Mary Magdalene. It's one of the greatest healings in all of Scripture. Jesus made this huge impact on these women. Jesus had cared for them. And so here we read as they are going to do what they could to care for Jesus. But when they get there, there's 2 men in dazzling clothes. And just as an aside, can we talk about that dazzling clothes are in the Bible? I just want to take a moment and tell you that this means that my sequin wardrobe collection is biblical, Scott. It's perfectly justified. So there's 2 men in dazzling clothes, and these 2 men say, "Y'all, I gotta tell you, he's not dead." And I think that these women, they must have been so confused because they're deep in grief, and they probably are like, "Did we not hear this right?" Until the dazzling men say, "Remember? Remember, he told you that he was going to die. He told you this was going to happen. But then, remember, he told you that on the 3rd day he would be raised." And then the women, who have been remembering all morning, and they have remembered Jesus. They remembered all that Jesus taught them. They remembered the impact that he had on them. They remember the love that he had for them. And somehow they got to the tomb and they had forgotten that Jesus promised them something bigger than even driving out 7 demons. That Jesus promised he was going to conquer death. He promised them life. He promised them abundant life. And so the dazzling men call them to remember, and they remember. And from that moment on, we have been a people called to remember. But sometimes remembering is hard. And so I am going to tell you a story this morning about how important it is to remember, a story we're going to learn from Wilford Gordon MacDonald Partridge. This is a Mem Fox book. It's one of my favorites. If you do not have this book, order it today. So good. Wilford Gordon MacDonald Partridge. There was once a small boy called Wilford Gordon MacDonald Partridge. And what's more, he wasn't very old either. His house was next door to an old people's home, and he knew all the people who lived there. He liked Mrs. Jordan, who played the organ. He listened to Mr. Hosking, who told him scary stories. He played with Mr. Tippett, who was crazy about cricket. He ran errands for Miss Mitchell, who walked with a wooden stick. He admired Mr. Drysdale, who had a voice like a giant. But his favorite person of all was with Nancy Allison Delacourt Cooper, because she had four names, just as he did. He called her Miss Nancy, and he told her all his secrets. One day, Willifred Gordon heard his mother and father talking about Miss Nancy. "Poor old thing," said his mother. "Why is she a poor old thing?" asked Willifred Gordon. "Because she's lost her memory," said his father. "It isn't surprising," said his mother. "After all, she is 96. "What's a memory?" asked Willifred Gordon. He was always asking questions. "It's something you remember," said his father. But Willifred Gordon wanted to know more, so he called on Mrs. Jordan, who played the organ. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something warm, my child, something warm." He called on Mr. Hosking, who told him scary stories. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something from long ago, me lad, something from long ago." He called on Mr. Tippett, who was crazy about cricket. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something that makes you cry, my boy, something that makes you cry." He called on Miss Mitchell, who walked with a wooden stick. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something that makes you laugh, my darling, something that makes you laugh." He called on Mr. Drysdale, who had a voice like a giant. "What's a memory?" he asked. "Something as precious as gold, young man, something as precious as gold." So Willifred Gordon went home again to look for memories for Miss Nancy, because she had lost her own. He looked for the shoebox of shells he'd found long ago last summer and put them gently in a basket. He found the puppet on strings, which always makes everyone laugh, and he put that in the basket too. And he remembered with sadness the medal which his grandfather had given him and placed it gently next to the shells. Next, he found his football, which was as precious as gold. And last of all, on his way to Miss Nancy's, he went into the hen house and took a fresh, warm egg from under a hen. Then Willifred Gordon called on Miss Nancy and gave her each thing one by one. "What a dear, strange child to bring me all these wonderful things," thought Miss Nancy. Then she started to remember. She held the warm egg and told Willifred Gordon about the tiny speckled blue eggs she had once found in a bird's nest in her aunt's garden. She put a shell to her ear and remembered going to the beach by tram long ago and how hot she felt in her button-up boots. She touched the metal and talked sadly of the big brother she had loved who had gone to war and never returned. She smiled at the puppet on strings and remembered the one she had shown her sister and how she laughed with a mouth full of porridge. She bounced the football to Willifred Gordon and remembered the day she met him and all the secrets they had told. And the two of them smiled and smiled because Miss Nancy's memory had been found again by a small boy who wasn't very old either. Willifred Gordon MacDonald Partridge knew that there are some things that are important to remember. He knew that there's beauty and life and wonder that need to be held onto. They need to be tucked away so that we can access it whenever we need to remember who we are and where we came from and that which is our very story. And that, I would suggest to you, that is the reason that we gather together today and next Sunday and the Sunday after that. Gather together to remember who we are, to declare over and over again what's our story, to remind ourselves of who we are. But how prone we are to lose our memory. How easy it is to forget, and we allow ourselves to get swept up in our forgetfulness. We find ourselves in a world that is hopeless and tired. We're overwhelmed by disaster and conflict. The world is broken, and it seems to be broken beyond repair. It's too hard to remember in the depths. The world is shadowy, and we forget. But the good news this morning, is that God did not forget. That when the darkness loomed and Jesus hung on the cross and Jesus cried out in pain and the crowd cried out for the crucifixion of Jesus, when the world was relishing in their own forgetfulness, Jesus remembered. Jesus cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when the world was so busy basking in their forgetfulness, and the curtains torn in two, and the soldiers are gambling for the prize of Jesus' clothes, God remembers. And we are assured that God loved the world so much that he gave the world his only begotten Son. And then on the third day, God raised Jesus from the dead, restoring life and relationships, demonstrating once and for all that the darkness cannot overcome the light, and that forgetfulness cannot overcome the remembering. Not long after my husband and I got married, his mom was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. After a battle that lasted way too long, it eventually carried her into life eternal. Not too long after she died, her sister, so Scott's aunt, was also diagnosed with Alzheimer's. We got to see Scott's aunt and her husband this summer. We got to spend some time with them, and we were sitting around and we were talking about the impact that this whole journey of forgetfulness has had on the family and how difficult that has been. And as we're sitting there, Scott's uncle, the aunt's husband, turned to me and said, "You know what? This summer is our 40th wedding anniversary. Can you do a vow renewal for us? I want to make sure she knows how deeply I love her before she completely forgets." Of course. Of course. And so I pull out my calendar and let's schedule something. And he says, No. I mean, right now. Can you renew our vows right now? Well, we're sitting in a restaurant, and I look around, and we're like right across from the kitchen. There's people are coming in and out, and there's food, and there's bustling, and there's chaos, and it's distracting. There's just all this stuff is going on right now. Yes, he says. In the middle of our everyday lives, I want a reminder of the depth and love of our love and commitment. And so right there, at the table in the restaurant, in the midst of half-eaten oysters and melting pina coladas, they turn to each other and grab their hands. And so I thought, and then I said this. Here's the thing. For 40 years, you have loved each other with your mind, with your heart, and with your soul. Yes. There are so many memories that you have made together, special moments that you have held in your mind for so many years. But the beautiful thing here is that you have loved each other with your very souls. And even when your mind forgets to hold the memories, your very souls will always hold each other. So deep and intimate is your love that it literally is a part of who you are, and regardless of what the next 40 years gives, or takes away, it will not be able to touch the love you have for one another, for it makes up who you are. And y'all, when we look at this passage this morning, when we look at Mary Magdalene and Joanna and the others and what they are calling us to remember this morning, I think that this is what they're telling us, that even in the places we forget, even when our lives are crazy and they're distracting and they're chaotic, even when it's bustling, even when the shadows of the world threaten to overtake us, even on the days when we feel lost and forgotten, even on the days that we're doing our best to get through life, never mind recognizing abundant life, in all of those places, we are loved in our very souls by the one who promises to never forget us. And so, like the women, we hear the dazzling call to remember, to claim who we are and where we've come from. Today is about the gloriousness of the God who remembers us. And so we worship and we celebrate, and today we remember. And we remember, and that remembering is more precious than gold. Remembering is how we're going to squeeze all we can out of this life that God has given us. Today we remember that Jesus Christ conquered death. And if Jesus can conquer death, he can conquer that which binds us. And that makes us a free people, free from forgetting, free from fearing, free from judgment, free from death. Friends, it is good news. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's pray. Holy God, we do give you thanks. We give you thanks that you remember and that you gather us together, that here in this place, we too can remember together. So God, we pray that you would be present and that you would bless this time. In your name we pray, amen.